Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight, a little bit different topic here, probably not what most of you would think of. I'm calling it Super Bowl Syndrome and the State of Our Union. And what is the American attitude, whatever you want to call it, I call it a syndrome regarding the Super Bowl. Super Bowl Syndrome have to do with the State of Our Union, and how is it symbolic, which I truly believe in so many respects when you think about the Super Bowl Syndrome, what it says about us as a culture, and what it's doing to our country. I think there is a relationship, even though some are going to say, oh, my goodness, come on, get over it, whatever. And, you know, there's some kind of a loon, whatever you might think of. But maybe after you hear my perspective on this, it'll make a little bit more sense to you of why I'm calling it this. And, of course, you know, here it is. We've got the Super Bowl coming up this next week and all the hoopla that will come with it, which it's really more to say what it is as a culture and what's happened to the culture and how the culture affects the State of Our Union. Our culture definitely does affect the State of Our Union and what's going to happen to this country. And then we'll talk how it kind of relates back to the fall of Rome and the games they played, the stadiums and the coliseums and all that stuff. So we're going to get into some of that. But before we go there, and, you know, again, the Super Bowl thing leads into some other issues. And we have the State of the Union, which is the State of Our Union, that's going to be presented tomorrow night. And I know most of you are just sitting on the edge of your seat just waiting. You're so excited in anticipation. Yeah, right. And then what's happening to the to our military? The Muslims are just taking over the military, the American military. It's happening. It's true. Then a case where Muslims gang rape an elderly lady, but that's okay. Muslims can do it. No one's going to stop them. And then amnesty. All these things. It's when you hear the Olympic Games to a certain degree as well. We'll talk about it. But when we talk about it from a cultural perspective, why the change of this culture is destroying the heart and soul of this country. And yet most people would think there's nothing more American than, of course, baseball, apple pie, and the Super Bowl. So we're going to talk about what's happening to us as a culture and why we are, you know, destroying ourselves. We're killing our own country, and most Americans seem to be totally clueless about it. But before we get into some of that stuff, I feel like I have so much to talk about tonight. I could probably talk for 3 or 4 hours, but trust me, we'll stop at 2. Another thing that's happening, as many of you know, I've talked about the notary public problem we have here in Florida. Channel 9, WFTV Channel 9, Todd Ulrich, the investigative reporter, did 2 major reports on it. Probably going to do another one, but I haven't heard anything official yet, about notary fraud, notary errors, notary fraud, felons, notary felons here in the state of Florida. Truly, anybody can be a notary in the state of Florida. You don't have to live here. You don't have to be a citizen. You can be a felon. That's okay. You can be in jail. That's okay. You can still be a notary. The nuttiness of everything is happening, and it all relates to why Florida is number one in identity theft and property theft and mortgage fraud. It does play into that. There's no controls over them today. But after the situation I faced with my father and a fraudulent will, and with the help of Todd Ulrich and Channel 9 doing the report, and also I went directly to my state senator, Darren Soto, and said there's something wrong here. We have to do something about this. This is not right. And then the other part, which I haven't gotten to really do anything about yet, but maybe it'll come up at some point, here in Orange County, Florida. Now, in the state of Florida, and like most places, I believe, it's against the law to file a fraudulent document. Okay? It's against the law. But really, it doesn't matter in Orange County, Florida. You know, you go out there, you create a fraudulent will, You get a friend who's a notary to notarize it for you. And then you go down and you file it at the courthouse because nobody's going to ask who you are. They're not going to have any identification for who you are. So you go and file a will in the courthouse for safekeeping. Totally fraudulent. And nothing can be done because they don't know who filed it. So while it's against the law to file a fraudulent document, no one's going to stop you in Orange County, Florida, because they're not going to ask you who you are. File whatever you want. No one's going to know. So here we know we've proven it's a fraudulent will, but nothing's going to be done about the person who filed it because Orange County never asked. This is law enforcement, and this is the judicial process here in Orange County, Florida. And again, goes back to the whole state of Florida. Why is Florida number one in identity theft, property theft, mortgage fraud? Duh! Because of stupid things like that. But getting back to the notary thing, which obviously ties into this, and I will still be seeking more resolution to what this notary did. So notary DD989035, Rachel Harvey, be prepared. You have not heard the last of Sally Baptist. The thing is, Senator Soto did take up the issue. He has a bill out there. It's Senate Bill 172, and they're going to be discussing it this next legislative session, which is going to be in just another week or two here. In fact, I think it's next week. And anyway, we need for everybody in Florida to contact your state representative and your state senator and tell them, yes, we need something done about notary fraud. The state of Florida is reckless, totally reckless in what they're doing. They are not protecting us. They let anybody do anything in this notary situation. And it's time to do something about it. His bill is a starting point. I think it needs to be a little bit stronger. But right now, there's no accountability. These notaries aren't responsible for squat. And they can get away with fraud like you wouldn't believe. I mean, truly, as it stands today, it's my own opinion, and somebody can try to prove me wrong, it's my own opinion that being a Florida notary is truly a license to commit fraud. The state of Florida enables notary fraud to the max. It's ridiculous. And these courts accept these notarized documents like they are gospel, the holy grail kind of thing, where it's holy grail, excuse me. I'm thinking of transportation here. It's outrageous what they have done, the recklessness. They do nothing to it as it stands today. And this bill at least makes the notary somewhat accountable for record keeping of what they do, because right now there's nothing. But yet, if that document's presented in a court of law with a notary seal, it's treated as gospel, the Holy Grail kind of thing. It is treated as beyond approach. It's just legitimate in every way. Excuse me. It's given so much credibility. And it should be given no credibility because there is no oversight, no integrity to the notary stamp and seal as it is done today in the state of Florida. Robo-notaries, the thing I found out, and I'm going to be reaching out to them, is the National Association of Notaries is also interested in this, and they're very much supporting this to be done. They probably will want more done, too, but at least they're supporting this. So please contact your Florida representative and senators. Yes, on Senate Bill 172, we need to do something about notary fraud. There's no control over this notary stuff, and this is a starting point. It's definitely not the end, but it's a start, and this will send a signal to those who are notaries. One, you shouldn't be a felon. And, you know, I have to go through and double-check if it actually states anything about the felons that are there. Can you just imagine? People are in jail, notaries in jail, behind bars, who are still active notaries in the state of Florida. How sick is that? Anyway, enough on that for right now. Getting back to the purpose of the show today, which is the Super Bowl syndrome and what that means to the state of our union. Now, Super Bowl syndrome, what is that? To me, it's not strictly the Super Bowl. It's pro sports in general, this obsession that Americans have with with pro sports, and the Super Bowl happens to be probably the biggest major. The World Series at one point, I think, was it, but I think the Super Bowl has long taken over what Major League Baseball used to be. But you got the three biggies out there that get an awful lot of attention: Major League Baseball, World Series, the NBA Championship, and the Super Bowl. There's many other sports that get a lot of attention, golf. I happen to enjoy figure skating. And, I mean, at one point in time, I followed baseball, basketball, and football. And this was a few years back, so don't ask me now, but at one time, I could have told you or given you the name of just about every quarterback in the NFL. But I don't today. I've gotten totally disgusted with what pro sports has become, what it is, what it's doing to our culture, and what it does to my bank account, and what it does to our cities and our towns of what we have to pay that we don't want and we don't use. And we'll talk a little bit about Major League Soccer here in Orlando, Florida, before this is said and done. But the obsession. And, I mean, it's one thing to have this party, you know, it brings people together in a certain kind of way, and there seems to be, you would think, it's like, well, this is such a good thing. Why would you want to stop this? Why would you complain about this? And so I understand why some people would say, you know, leave the politics out of the Super Bowl. You can't leave the politics out of the Super Bowl. Their advertising doesn't let you do that. And it's big bucks to advertise, as most people know, during a Super Bowl and these kind of things. So the politics are there whether you want them there or not. But it's more to what it means as a mindset of the American people. And how much in the Super Bowl, of course, it's across how many months, how many different or how many weeks that you have the games, the preseason games and the seasonal games and the playoffs and then the Super Bowl and then the Pro Bowl. There's all these things which some would say it's a boost to the economy because of all the marketing and the various, you know, all the T-shirts and the garbage, you know, that you sell on up cups with the sports teams, all those kind of stuff. And again, it's not that I'm anti-capitalism by any means, but it's how the American people have become obsessed with this, and they don't seem to care about what else is going on. It's like this has consumed everything, and the fact that the country's crumbling doesn't seem to matter. And there's something sick about that, which goes back to the fall of Rome, the games. The games are a way to, I frequently say occupy the idiots, but I'm going to kind of change that to say occupy the sheeple. Occupy the clueless, the sheeple, whatever you want to call it. It's a way for government to focus the people's attention on something else. They'll pass bills during a Super Bowl because no one's paying attention. They'll destroy whatever they can in this country while no one's paying attention because all the sheeple are surrounded at the Colosseum, as in the fall of Rome, and we can distract them. They won't know what we're doing because they're over here totally occupied with something that means truly nothing in the overall scheme of things. And when I say it means nothing, you know what? With the exception of those who are truly addicts, which might be a few, I'm not sure how many, if you never went to another sports game or watched another sports game in your life, you could still live. Now, if our country gets totally taken over, well, you might still be living, but I don't know if it's the way you want to live at all. The difference of living without the Super Bowl versus living without freedom to own a house, freedom to own a car, freedom to come and go when you want to, liberty, it just seems like that freedom to own a gun. Does that matter? Or is it more important to go watch the Super Bowl? Right now, I have a very big fear that many Americans are so occupied by the Super Bowl, that's all that matters. You know, whatever would happen, nothing would take away from that. And their people will congregate all over the place. They're going to have parties and rallies and whatever's going on in New York with the, I guess it's, New York, New Jersey, wherever the game is actually being held. Looks like the weather's going to finally clear up enough for them to not have to be digging out the snow too much for it. But when all that's going on, no one's paying attention to what anything else is happening in this country. and the country's being destroyed, and they play the game. This is all part of it. The fall of Rome proves that. The fall of Rome, they created the games to distract the sheeple so that while they were destroying everything else, the people wouldn't pay any attention to it. They, in all honesty, I wouldn't put past these people to try to pass amnesty during the Super Bowl, because that's how evil they are and how clueless or distracted the sheeple are. The question I ask to people is like, well, in the overall scheme of things, over all these weeks, especially people that have young children in school or children in school, for every hour that you spend focused on pro sports, whether that be football or even the kids' little league or the pro football game teams, which I think some of these kids are way too young. I think it's harmful to their brain in more ways than one. The for every hour that you spend on sports, how many hours did you spend talking about the Constitution, the freedom, the difference of a moral society, what happens when we have no values? How much time did you spend on that? And you, the adult, how much time do you spend every week focused on following sports, reading the stats, you know, looking at what the lineup is, who's playing who, and, you know, all this other kind of stuff, watching how many games on the weekend, going to local football games, whatever it may be, how many hours a week do you spend on that, and how much time do you spend seeing what's going on in your own country, in your own city, what your own city hall is doing to you, what your own county commission is doing to you? How much time do you pay attention to that? And if, unless those two numbers are somewhat close, then they've succeeded in occupying the sheeple. They've totally distracted and occupied the sheeple so they can go play all their games. They can destroy this country bit by bit because the sheeple are not interested because they're having fun. They're having a party. Excuse me. And the other thing about this, when it, while I'm not a person who caves in on security to say, no, you're not going to go do anything because of the threat of terrorism or whatever else, because you're not an American if you're going to run scared the whole time. Americans can't be living in fear. We were somewhat taught that after 9/11, even though we should be more, you know, of course they took the Patriot Act to take away half of our rights for that, but Americans aren't the type of people to live in fear. You're not going to go to the Super Bowl because you're too scared to go. You know, those kind of things, I don't believe in that either. But look at what has happened to massive security at a Super Bowl game. Criminal just walking in because they're going to, you know, don't you dare carry whatever it might be, pair of nail clippers. Don't have a pair of nail clippers in your purse. That could be a weapon. I mean, the nutsiness of that kind of stuff. But then I think at the bigger level, much bigger level, and I just have this fear, and ever since the Boston Massacre, now obviously a lot of things we thought differently about since 9/11, but the Boston Massacre, I think, was just the test run for something very similar but much bigger. And I don't know whether they're going to use an event like the Super Bowl where they're going to have people in major communities, metropolitan areas, the cities that are going to have people, you know, all joined together watching these games where you're going to have large groups of individuals together, whether they're going to have some kind of an event on something like that, I don't know. That's the fear I have. I believe there will be some future crazy Boston Massacre that's going to happen a lot bigger. And, you know, they did this in Boston where there's so many gun laws that the citizens were not armed to defend themselves. This is what people don't seem to understand about the Second Amendment. They did this large metropolitan city like Boston. Strict gun laws. The people were defenseless. They brought the community to its knees. They brought a major city like Boston to its knees, to individuals. They did this. Now, would it be as easy to do that in the cities where you actually have the right to own a gun, where you don't have the craziness of what they do in Boston, and even the same would be true in Chicago with all the strict gun laws, where they have these extremely strict gun laws, and if people, the citizenry cannot defend itself. But will it be on some event like that? I don't know. I personally believe the Boston Massacre was a test run of something much bigger that will happen in multiple cities across this country at the same time. I just have that fear. And the part that scares me the most is that Americans are worried about watching the Super Bowl. They're not going to think about anything else. They're not going to pay attention. They're more absorbed by watching a game than seeing their country get destroyed. And this scares the daylights out of me. It really does. And, I mean, that's not to condemn, you know, like I said, the Super Bowl is a big old party and it's all fun and all this. And, you know, at certain times, I just think right now we're at such – there's so many things going on with our country today, I just don't see how people can ignore everything else around them. You know, I'm telling you, if there was some kind of protest against amnesty going on someplace in Orlando for this Super Bowl, I would never think twice. I would go protest the amnesty before I'd ever watch the Super Bowl game. But how many Americans would say that? How many Americans would say, I'm not going to fight amnesty right now. I've got a Super Bowl to watch. I've got a World Series to watch. It's what it all means as a culture, what we have become. Excuse me. What does it say about us as a culture when we cherish something like a game more than we seem to cherish the existence of this country? And some, I mean, there are those I call them, they're in denial. Oh, 9/11's never going to happen again. Yeah, that'll never happen again. Yeah, all those Muslim Brotherhood and the Chinese nationals that are coming over the southern border, don't worry about that. That won't do anything. The Muslim Brotherhood love Americans, right? These people that are in such denial. And maybe you don't, I mean, if you're truly a socialist or communist, I can guess, understand that's where you're coming from. But guess what? When it comes to the socialism and the communism, you probably won't get to see too many of those games. That's all going to change, too. Your freedom to go watch a game is going to be a whole different situation. Not to mention the cost and things like that. So when you think of, now let's go to a little bit the other side of what pro sports have become, and again, how it ties into what we are as a people. Well, entertainment. I've been talking a lot about the entertainment. We are totally distracted. The world could be collapsing around us. Wouldn't matter. We got a Super Bowl to watch. That's more important. And then the greed, the money, the aspect of the money, the big bucks, totally around everything to do with a sports event like the Super Bowl. And, I mean, anybody can go out there and you can decide. I mean, a Super Bowl, it's one game for that sport. Now, when it comes to the NBA and to Major League Baseball, it's a series that they play, and then it comes down to that final game. It's a little bit different on how they kind of wind down on some of that, the series, versus on the Super football, it's one game. You've had those playoff games, but it wasn't a series, not like the World Series. So it comes down to that one game. The massive chart, the money, all to do with the advertising, the political rhetoric and whatever else you want to call it that will be promoted out there. And I openly admit, in the past, I would watch the Super Bowl to watch the commercials because you really would have some of the best commercials come out. But then, again, I got so disgusted with everything to do with pro sports. I haven't watched the Super Bowl probably in 6 years, 7 years, maybe longer. I'm not addicted to it. I'm not obsessed. And when we value something like a game like that so much more than everything that's happening in this country today, it really puts the fear in me. Makes me very concerned for our country. And again, the money, is it really necessary to pay these football players all these outrageous salaries? I mean, if you take any, you know, if the individuals who are drafted for the NFL, if you, before they ever went to that first game in the NFL, before they were ever there, and they already made money playing football in college, because that's how they got their education and they got paid and got a car and all these other bennies that they get for playing sports for the college. If you said, you know, no NFL this year, what would these individuals be making in the private sector? These college graduates, some of them not even grads, they drop out for this. These college graduates would be making nothing. I mean, they'd be lucky to be making $30,000, $40,000 after graduating. Probably less than that with what's going on in this economy right now, but they would be making nothing. Yet they're treated in this weird way because they're playing a game. And, you know, the fact is we're importing even players for that. At one point, it was an American sport. It was an American game. But right now, we keep importing more and more foreigners to play these games. The whole thing is so nutsy to me. I'm sorry. I just can't justify paying anybody multi-million dollars for a game. Not to mention the fact that it makes it impossible for the average person to even afford to go to a game. And then there's all the commercialization of selling the tickets and, you know, whatever, all that stuff. But the amount of money it costs to go to a game, and because it's not a home game. It's wherever they decide to have the Super Bowl. If you think you're going to go, you're going to have to pay a hotel in that city to stay there, unless it happens to be your home city, which every now and again that happens, but let's face it, not for most. But the whole thing is just all about this money, this greed, this obsession. It's a syndrome. It's a syndrome that totally distracts the people from what's happening in the real world. And, you know, I don't know, maybe some people aren't bothered by that. The other aspect, when it comes to this money, is the taxpayer dollars. You know, first off, tax dollars in general. Why is the NFL exempt from paying taxes? I mean, that drives me literally nuts when I think, and as a tax-exempt organization, as I understand it, and if anybody knows something different, you're more than welcome to call in and tell me or whatever. As a tax-exempt organization, nonprofit, when the football players go to whatever hotel it is they're staying at, all those kind of different travel expenses, those various things that you and I would pay taxes on, they don't pay any. They get a waiver because they're a tax-exempt nonprofit organization. So what you and I, the working class, have to pay for, these multimillionaires don't pay. I don't care. Hey, I think everybody has a right to earn as much money as they can. As a consumer, I think it's overpriced, and I wouldn't pay for it. But on the other side, when it comes to these taxes, this is not right. There's no way the NFL should be considered a nonprofit tax-exempt organization. No way at all. And see, this is, you know, people think, well, but they do so much. Well, they play this political game, all the undue influence they have because of what they do, because they don't pay any taxes. Yeah, it's real easy to go and donate $1 million if you save $2 million in taxes. Ooh, what a decision. I mean, that's not charity. It's not charity. And the more I know about pro sports, the more disgusted I get with it. And then right here in Orlando, and it's true across the country, but why are taxpayers paying for the arenas and the stadiums for these billionaire ball clubs? I can't afford it. You're making me pay for the billionaire. Hey, you know what? If you get rich because of the work that you do and you earn your, you know, you sell more or whatever it is or something, that's all fine and dandy. But I, as a taxpayer, should not have to fund your organization. Should taxpayers have to be the ones who build all the Walmarts? Should Walmart be a non-for-profit or a tax-exempt non-profit? There's something that's gone totally nuts in this process about sports. And why? Why are we so addicted to sports? what would happen if we never watched another football game? Maybe there's a few of you who would have a nervous breakdown, but I'd be willing to bet most of us would survive. But what about food that we're growing on our own land? We're being limited and controlled by the food and the energy, the things we really need, but no one seems to care about that. Watching that football game is so much more important than having the right to own a farm, not having your land stolen from you from a state agency, from a quasi-government, non-elected agency like the EPA. That doesn't seem to matter to people. As long as you can go see that football game or that baseball game or whatever, there's something sick here. They have totally succeeded in occupying the American people, distracting them to a game, and they do nothing, and they can do whatever they want. You talk about Rome burning. I mean, this is, Rome didn't burn in a day. This is how they do it. They occupy the people, the sheeple, while they destroy Rome. And they're destroying the United States of America right now while everybody's focused on a Super Bowl game. And it's not just Super Bowl, but Super Bowl is one of the biggies. Then, even when you go back to the value of the game, because again, as I was talking about in the beginning, there's a certain thing that's really kind of neat about the Super Bowl, where it brings people together, rooting for one team, this the jovial, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's being united, but we are bringing people together, and instead of being isolated like we seem sometimes to be. And so that all seems good, but then we have the famous, infamous wardrobe malfunction and the sleaziness of some of the things that are coming on to the show now. I mean, the halftime show used to be something really neat to watch. Even if you didn't care about the game, you'd watch that. But the standard keeps lowering and lowering into this thing of no values. And it's all just a moneymaker at the taxpayer's expense and at the expense of this whole society. I don't know, maybe people think I'm crazy saying this, but I just think the mentality we have, the Super Bowl syndrome, which is tied to many sports, not just the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is the grand finale of it, I believe. But it just says, this is what we care about. We don't care about other things. And just ask those that don't watch it. Those who are addicted to sports, how many hours a day in a week do you focus on some kind of pro sports? And that same week, same day, same week, how much time did you spend really knowing what was going on in your local government, your federal government? What did you really know that was going on in your country? Did you spend 5 or 10 minutes listening to the radio news when you were waiting for the sports report and you heard something else? Or did you take time to go find out what the bills are? Did you take time to learn what Common Core education is? Did you take the time to find out what amnesty is? Did you take the time to learn what's really happening on our southern border and every other border? You couldn't be bothered with that because you had a Super Bowl to worry about. Sad. I think it's so symbolic of why we're falling, why the country is dying. We are destroying ourselves because we've lost the core values. There's nothing wrong with a Super Bowl, but you can't go and ignore everything else. It's all part of the game. Like I said, I typically say, occupy the idiots. Well, occupy the sheeple. We the people, we the sheeple. That's what's happening. So we talked about the security risk tied to it. And I don't know. I mean, we know at the actual Super Bowl event, there's going to be massive security all around the place. You're going to be treated as a criminal walking into it. Like I said, don't bring in a pair of fingernail clippers. Don't have those fingernail clippers in that purse. In fact, if I was going to such an event, I wouldn't even carry a purse. I wouldn't, and strictly cash, wouldn't carry much of anything with me because you wouldn't be allowed. But, of course, you'll be totally defenseless if anybody attacks you. But, that part's okay. Be defenseless if they get attacked, but that's the only way you'll get in there. And, I mean, you can't really blame them. I mean, you got to have... You don't want them to be reckless with letting people in either. So I don't know what you do on that one. You know, it's tough. But I'm thinking about what's happening all across the country, the different events, the venues all over the place that are going to be coming together to have this party, and what it means. Anytime you have a group of people all coming together for some type of celebration, and I mean, because truly we've had the marches on D.C. and the marches on capitals and things like that, where you are truly bringing a large group of people together too, except those people are in a different mindset. They're in a defensive mindset to protect what they have and to protest an out-of-control government. But it's still a risk. Many of you have heard about the American Operation Spring that's coming up here in May. And that's going to be, well, if it goes anything like they want, millions of people on the Capitol, surrounding that Capitol. And, I mean, we've talked about it on this show 2 years ago that we needed to do it. We need to take back our country. We need to go out there and escort those people out of the building. You're fired. We have to have people who are ready to take those jobs, too. We need true citizens who will fill the spot of John Boehner, Bonehead, whatever you want to call him, who's about as useless as, well, fill in the blank there. And those who are communists. We have communists in our government. How can you be a communist and be sworn to office? How can you take a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution if you're a communist? I don't get it. And that's, again, this gets into the state of our union. Here we've got this mentality out there. It's all about having it, playing games, having fun. Who cares what's going on around us? Nothing's ever going to happen. 9/11 would never happen to us. So we just got to go watch the Super Bowl or whatever. And just look about what's going on with the Olympics as we talk about sports. And right now, I mean, the Americans athletes that are over there, which we want to support our team, but now there's so much going on over there and the distraction of everything else that's going on. I don't know how those games are going to all turn out. That'll be kind of interesting. And many of us will be watching the Olympics. And I'll watch some of it too. I'm not going to say I don't watch any sports. I do. But you know what? When it comes down to the wire, and they say, well, you have to make a decision. Are you going to watch some kind of sporting event on TV, whatever it may be, or are you going to go defend your country? There is no question. I will go defend the country. Whatever it is I can do to help. If that means protesting on the Capitol in May, then that's what I would do. If it means collecting signatures to have these petitions, you know, those kind of things. I would do what I could do to protect this country. The country means more to me. My country means more to me than a Super Bowl game. And I'm telling you, I don't know how true that is with many Americans. And most would say, oh, of course, it's more important. But then you ask them the other questions. When was the last time you went to any kind of public meeting? When was the last time you called any of your representatives? And we're talking your local commissioners, county commissioners, your city council, your state representative, your state senator, your governor, and then, of course, the federal level. When was the last time you contacted any of these people? Are you really happy with the job they're doing? How many people are happy with the job the government's doing? Very, very few. The ones that are happy are the ones who are married to somebody in it, or somehow related to them. But the majority of Americans are totally dissatisfied with what this government's doing, but yet they won't even take the time to pick up a phone and voice their opinion to share their outrage. And I'm sad to say some are actually scared to do that. You know, and that's Jefferson, I believe, who said, when people fear the government, that's tyranny. When the government fears the people, that's liberty. Right now, we have tyranny. Many, many people are too scared to oppose what this government does. When Americans are scared of their government, there's tyranny. So you think of all these different things as we're playing games and watching the games and preoccupied with those kind of fun things, distracted, not knowing that they're letting the amnesty go through. What is the state of our union when we seem to be more focused on that? And that's why I say I think there's a very big relationship between this mentality of being obsessed, the syndrome of pro sports, in this case the Super Bowl we're talking about, Super Bowl syndrome, that's more important than the State of the Union. And, you know, of course, you could truly do the test. You go out there and say, okay, we're going to have the Super Bowl over on this channel, same time as we're going to have the State of the Union over here. Can you imagine the outcry of those representatives who were supposed to sit there and have a pep rally in the House while the president is giving the State of our Union and while they're all missing the Super Bowl? Just imagine, would that ever happen? Would they ever, and you would see, and then from those who are at home, well, wait a minute, what was more important? Was it more important for you to watch the State of our Union, or was it more important to watch the Super Bowl? And there's part of me that kind of says, well, what I'm seeing with the State of the Union isn't, we all know it's going to be somewhat of a joke anyway. So I don't know that I would blame somebody for choosing the Super Bowl over the president with the State of our Union, because we know we're just going to hear different types of rhetoric about redistribution of wealth, socialism, and communism, because that's what he believes in. And this is what he believes. This is, you know, he doesn't use the word socialism or communism, but it is what it is. He's determined to destroy this country. And my own opinion is, at least in part, if not totally, based on his Muslim heritage. The Muslims do not like America. They never have liked America. Go read what Thomas Jefferson said about the Muslims. And then, when you think about our State of the Union, State of our Union, and look what this president is doing, he's decided that he's not going to do what Congress says. He's going to write his own laws. That's called being a dictator. He's out there changing our military to be a Muslim Brotherhood military. He's going, you know, the Bible, and I don't see how people cannot be outraged. I mean, the majority of Americans are still Christian and Jewish, and then we do have other different faiths, including atheism and the Muslims, and other, you know, other different faiths that are out there. Muslim, about a year ago, how Christians can be so complacent, I just don't get it. And, I mean, I myself do not go to church because I feel too disgusted when I listen to what some of these churches are doing and not doing. The churches don't even protect their own. I mean, the Christian church does not even protect its own. What we would do to a Christian church, and I'm going to get into that with Orlando here, versus what we would do to a mosque, two different things. The American people, which, again, are more Christian than anything else, cow down and surrender their rights to be Christian in lieu of the Muslim faith, the Islam. And it's Islam that's trying to kill us. It's the Muslim Brotherhood that's trying to kill us. And this isn't me being a conspiracy loon or being paranoid. It's real. And then our president... And while this guy has been in office, they took away the Bibles from the military. They removed all forms of Christianity from the military. They have done everything they can to remove Christianity from this country. And yet, the Christians don't seem to care. I don't get it. The Jewish don't seem to care. I don't get it. And this past week, to go out there and say, for religious purposes, in a volunteer service, volunteer military, that you're going to be allowed to have facial hair and your preferred headgear, because that's more important. It's more important for the Muslims to be able to do what they want to do and less important to secure this country. We are converting our American military into a Muslim Brotherhood military. And that's all being done with this president. But don't worry. Go watch a Super Bowl game. Don't worry about that. That's not important. Our military is being destroyed, but there's a Super Bowl game. You can't risk missing that Super Bowl game to go out there and make a few phone calls. and then the amnesty that goes in with us. But before I talk about the amnesty, just, in fact, I'll read this article here. This was January 19th. The article is called "Muslims Gang Rape American Woman in Colorado in Rare and Horrific Ways." And this is an article on shoebat.com, but I've seen other articles on the same thing, and they do have the video where they interviewed the police department, chief of police or whoever it was, law enforcement. And here's what the story of it is. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read some of it here. Okay. America helped Iraq, and now the immigrants who the nation has brought within its borders are introducing to the people the reality of Muslim cruelty and deviancy. Five Iraqi men have been arrested in Colorado Springs in connection with a rape so disturbing that Lieutenant Howard Black, who heads the police department's special victims unit, said, "We don't see these types of assaults typically in Colorado Springs." The victim was an elderly woman who was invited by the Iraqis for what she believed to be lemonade. And what occurred afterwards, the woman cannot even remember. Here's the video explaining, and then there's a video. One of the Iraqis involved, I'm not going to try to say their names, I can't pronounce, Sarmad, Fatih, Levi, Muhammad, whatever, I can't pronounce too many of their names, is already serving 16 years to life in prison after being found guilty of placing his penis in the woman's mouth. Okay, and then the 21-year-old has been identified by prosecutors as one who brutalized the woman to the point she suffered severe internal injuries. This was a gang rape of Muslims. And they are actually doing something here about it. But half the time, they would say it was a honor killing. It's Islam. It's the Muslim faith, the Islam, Sharia, whatever. And this is what's happening to the American people because of what we're letting happen to this country. Because we're too busy worried about watching a Super Bowl game. The Super Bowl game is more important than worrying about this kind of stuff. And I know there's going to be some there saying, oh, don't go and blow the Super Bowl for it. You've got to think about how much time, and it's not just the one event, it's everything to do with what leads to that event. How many hours a day, how many hours a week, how obsessed are you with pro sports that you don't have time to take care of your own community, your own city. You don't have time to call your own state representative or your federal congressional representative or senator. You don't have time, but you got all the time in the world for a football game. Where are the values? Is this what Americans value? We don't care about this stuff? You know, for everybody that's going to listen to this now or later, I hope that if nothing else, you'll think about how much time you spent watching sports, being totally obsessed by something non-essential, while you ignored the country being destroyed around you. Do you care about your country or don't you? What's more important? And maybe you'll think twice about whether you should participate in the American Operation Spring in May. Maybe you can get away from the sports long enough to be engaged in what's happening to try and save this country. Maybe you can break away long enough to go out there and make sure everyone you know knows you oppose amnesty and you oppose the invasion of the Chinese nationals and the Muslim Brotherhood who are taking down this country. This is a very, very real threat. Dennis Michael Lynch has got his They Come to America, The Cost of Amnesty. He's got two documentaries, maybe a third one out there now, but definitely two out there. One was done this past year. And it shows you firsthand what's happening on the southern border. But it's not just the southern border, but it's so obvious there. And all the Border Patrol trucks are parked in the and the compound for the Border Patrol. They're all parked. We have a president who's promoting the overtake of this country by the Muslim Brotherhood and refusing to secure this country, and he did it all through executive order while the Congress did nothing. But you're watching that Super Bowl game. That's more important. We have to have priorities. What's more important than watching the Super Bowl game? So what if the country crumbles? And you know what? If you watch the Super Bowl game, but you really go out there, you truly do focus and help out, then that's the way it should be. I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl game because I don't think, one, the NFL should not be a non-profit organization. I'm going to, I mean, I haven't been watching it for years anyway, but I got disgusted with the outrageous salaries these people make because, to me, it's just, it actually blocks many people from being able to go watch the game. They can watch it on TV if it doesn't get blacked out on TV. But between the nonprofit status, tax-exempt status, and the fact that taxpayer dollars are used to promote welfare for billionaires, why should we be paying for their stadiums? That's totally wrong. And so when they talk about, you know, what's wealth equality or whatever, trying to share the wealth, the redistribution of wealth, whatever, I don't have a problem with people making money, but they should do it on their own dime, not mine. I should not have to pay for any sports stadium for any pro sports organization, period. And the way these politicians do play all these games, and I mean, not there's about nine or ten different sports that have gotten into this nonprofit status where they pay no taxes. Some of it's golf. I think Major League Soccer is out there too. I'd have to go look at the list again, but the NFL is definitely one of the biggies. And Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma has a bill in the Senate to change the status, to disallow pro sports from being tax exempt. They should pay their fair share of the taxes. I should not pay the taxes for the billionaires. If you're a billionaire, good for you. Congratulations. Have at it. But don't expect me to pay for it. Don't expect me to build your work facilities. And don't expect to be tax exempt for it. That's outrageous. Totally outrageous. And it all comes again to, are the American people this sick? Tea Partiers, where are you? Taxed enough already? Do you think you should pay the taxes for the football league? Do you truly think it's fair for any American to be paying the taxes for the NFL, to be building their facilities? If the NFL has so much money, they can build their own stinking stadium and rent it out to whoever they want to. These pro sports stadiums should be nothing to do with public workspace or public works projects. They should not be public property, period. You know what? I have no problem with having different playgrounds and fields that kids get to go to, school teams and all this kind of thing. That is serving the public good. But it's not serving the public good for me to finance the NFL. We need roads. We don't need stadiums. State of Florida says they can't afford roads, but they can afford stadiums for the billionaires. And getting back to what's going on here in Orlando, as we speak, eminent domain is being used, and this is Mayor Dyer, Mayor Buddy Dyer, and Mayor Teresa Jacobs at the county. The Mayor Dyer is the city of Orlando. Teresa Jacobs is the county, Orange County, in Orange County, Florida. One, Jacobs is a Republican, Rhino, and Dyer is a liberal, money-hungry Democrat. So, again, parties mean nothing. But they are out there seeking a tax-exempt status for Major League Soccer here in Orlando. They're going to raise property taxes for Major League Soccer here in Orlando. The people oppose Major League Soccer here in Orlando, but they don't care. And now they are going to use eminent domain. Eminent domain to tear down a church in a black community known as Paramore. And so they, because they have to build the stadium for the league, for the Major League Soccer team. Not to mention, personally, we don't need anything else. We've already got the Amway Arena, which is a piece of garbage that we've paid for the Orlando Magic. And we have other facilities down there. What they did with the so-called Art Center, and they destroyed another church to do that in downtown Orlando. It's wrong what they're doing. Eminent domain should not be to take away the church for a sports stadium. When you think about the public good, and what does it say about us in sports? This goes back to what I was saying about American values. What does it say about American values when we think it's okay for a tyrannical government, the city of Orlando and Orange County, Florida, to go and use eminent domain to tear down a church of a black community so that they can build a sports arena or a sports stadium, whatever it may be, a sports facility for Major League Soccer? The people should not be building a stadium for Major League Soccer. If Major League Soccer thinks they can make money in Orlando, great. Come on in, build your own stadium. You pay for it, you make the money. But eminent domain to steal a church for a stinking sports game. And this is why I say it's all symbolic. Now, soccer isn't the big to-do as football is in this country, not yet at least. Who knows, it may be at some point, but not today. But the people of Orlando don't even pay. The Orlando Magic does nothing for this community. And, of course, they'd be all huffy and puffy. I didn't want that stinking stadium. They didn't, the arena. They didn't pay for the first arena. Why should my tax dollars go for this kind of garbage when they can't even take care of our infrastructure? They want more money for schools and infrastructure while they give money away to pro sports. It's sick. But what are the people of Florida and the people of America doing? They're sitting there glued to that stinking TV or whatever it is that they're going to watch the sports games. So if that's what you think is more important, and when asked one-on-one, they always say the other's more important, but yet they don't do anything about it. They sit there and watch the TV. Disgusting. It's just, there is a group of individuals, including myself, who are trying to help oppose this eminent domain to destroy a church. And this is a church in a black community. The church that they tore down in Orlando, it was a beautiful church, United Methodist Church. And at one point, I mean, I grew up in Orlando. I was born and raised here. And I remember you used to be able to drive down Orange Avenue towards downtown, and you see these three big steeples. It was so pretty. Today you can't see any of them. They're all buried behind some other building because there's no respect for values. And in this one, I don't know how the deal all turned out. I don't know. Some would be somewhat probably suspicious of the transaction that took place for what they paid this United Methodist Church. It was such a beautiful white church. You just have to kind of see it. And I don't know that I have any pictures of it anywhere in my own. I'm sure there's plenty out there. But they destroyed that for an art center. And you know what? If the people of the congregation say, sure, give us the money, we'll go relocate our church someplace else, if that's what they truly believe, then that's fine. And maybe that's what happened there. I don't know. I heard different stories about it, so I really don't want to comment on. I don't feel like I have enough facts on it. But I do know right now the Paramore community, who happens to be under Daisy Lynam, a black councilwoman for the city of Orlando, she sells out that black community so fast, it's so sad. And she's the same lady who goes out there ranting that black people can't be racist. And I swear to you, my own opinion, she's probably the biggest racist there is. She's a racist like Al Sharpton. Her and Al Sharpton have a lot in common. Because Paramore has always been a black community, and there's a lot of history to that black community. But you get these people in office, they don't care about that. values mean nothing to them. It's however much money they can spend and do and destroy and whatever. Who cares about the history of the black community in Orlando? Definitely not Daisy Wynum. Definitely not Mayor Dyer. Definitely not Mayor Jacobs. They don't care. But this black community, they want their church. One thing, I believe the church has been there for 30-plus years on this particular church. And they, because they would not just hand it over, they came up with a very large figure that they were asking for. And some are saying, well, were they being greedy, or were they just trying to say, no, we're not selling it to you? And it's like, well, if you'd be crazy enough to give us that much money, we'd move, but I don't know. But because they came up with this extremely high amount, and the city wasn't going to pay that amount, the city is going to use eminent domain to steal it from them at a much lower price, if we allow it to happen. And, you know, eminent domain was nothing to do with that. That isn't what eminent domain was for. It's outrageous that eminent domain would be used. And, you know, we see this happening across the country. And, again, where are the American people for any government agency, any governmental entity, board, commission, whatever, and including the EPA, to go out there and use eminent domain to steal private property, to give it to another private entity, which is what this Major League Soccer team is, a private entity, is so un-American. It's so unconstitutional. I mean, it's one thing to go out there and use eminent domain for the sake of building a road, for the sake of military, national defense, and the sake of possibly a school. Those serve a public need. But to take it for, to steal land from an American, from a public entity, or, you know, a private entity, excuse me, the church that serves a public interest, steal that so that you can build a sports stadium? And don't tell me you're a Christian, Mayor Dyer, and don't tell me you're a Christian, Mayor Jacobs. Yeah. Tell me God told you to tear down the church. Tell me God told you that church, soccer was more important than that church. Can you say that with a straight face? We both know how crooked you both are. Jacobs and all the crap she pulled, texting during a public hearing to block a vote that she didn't like, which, to be perfectly honest, what the people wanted, the people who were putting something on the ballot, I didn't like what they were trying to do either, but that isn't her right. She violated her oath of office, and she still sits there. And Dyer corrupted an election, bought absentee ballot votes, and he still sits there. Hey, we got a Super Bowl to go to. Don't worry about this other stuff. Don't worry about those taxes you're going to pay here in Orlando and Orange County, and truly throughout the state of Florida, because state tax dollars will end up being tied into this. State tax dollars giving them a tax-exempt status and giving them a free stadium. You and I are going to pay for the billionaires. And then you've got a president who talks about inequality, wealth inequality, income inequality. And here you've got one Republican and one Democrat. There's no difference in them. They're both liberal, progressive, communist, socialist, whatever you want to call it, because it's un-American, anti-American, to steal land from a private owner to give to another private entity. That is not what eminent domain is. And I'm hoping that enough people here in Orange County rally together to stop it. That these people are so evil. They are so hooked. And you know what? Daisy Wynum apparently isn't saying anything. This is her community, a black lady with a black community, black constituents. She's not doing anything to protect her community. Her black history is in that community is being destroyed, and she does not care. Give them a few bones and throw them out to wherever else they go. Send them someplace else as long as we get the money. I mean, like I said, she could, her and Al Sharpton have so much in common, it's not funny. And I just think, it's like, well, Al Sharpton, where are you? Don't you care about the black community? Oh, wait a minute. This is about money. So you'll probably come in here and help take the church away from them. disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. So, please, if you are interested, you can do some research out there. I don't want to give anybody's email address out here on the show, but just do a little bit of searching out there, and you'll find some of the groups that are opposing this. You can contact the church itself. Just do a search on the Orlando Church eminent domain for Orlando Church for the Major League Soccer. Buddy Dyer seeks eminent domain for Church for Soccer. You can do several different searches like that and find it. And then you hook up with some of the other people. And I will be sending out an email to my list, giving them information about this and encouraging people to turn off the Super Bowl game for a minute and do something else. Or watch the Super Bowl game, but then remember to go do something else afterwards. Take back your own town, your own city. Don't let local government be so out of control and tyrannical like Mayor Dyer is here in Orlando. And Jacobs. Like I said, there's one Republican, one Democrat. There's no difference. When you go and you look at what these two have done, you see absolutely no difference. I have never been a fan of Jacobs. I mean, I shouldn't say never. In the beginning, I gave her the benefit of the doubt, and then she proved to me she couldn't be trusted. She's no different than the GOP establishment. She's a perfect GOP establishment person and literally violated her own oath of office right there, sitting on that commission panel or on the board of commissioners and texting special interest for advice on how to shut down a vote. She should not be allowed to be in office today. They said something about she was given a fine. And I've been told different amounts of money of how much taxpayers paid because of the legal challenges against her and two other commissioners, Commissioner Jennifer Thompson and Scott Boyd. All violated the office, the Sunshine Law, and they're all still sitting there. But at least we have a Super Bowl game to watch. Something wrong when we care more about sports than we care about what's going on in our own country. It really is. And then on to the thing with amnesty. The amnesty, I'm going to be talking much more about that in the next week or two. But right now, and again, while the Americans are preoccupied with sports games, the Olympics, the Super Bowl, whatever it may be, we're going to distract the American people and we're going to pass amnesty. Well, I'm telling you, for every American out there who truly believes in the sovereignty of this country, considers themselves to be a patriot, believes in the Constitution, you better start calling every single one, email, fax, mail, call every single one of your representatives at every level and protest amnesty. I've done it in the past, and I will be doing it again. I will be calling, I will be faxing, and I will be emailing, and of course I'm saying it here. I will let them know. And you know what? For every, you know, this is equally bad on both sides. I mean, in the overall scheme of things, there's no difference between the two parties. We have to understand that. But somehow, and don't ask me to explain why Democrats think communism is good, but they seem to, liberal progressive mentality. So the communists, the socialists slash communists, have taken over the Democrat Party much more, or in theory, much more so than they have on the right. But those who are elected to the Republican Party, we still have such an enormous situation with the GOP establishment. And you know, Mike Huckabee, I don't care what he was saying, his whole point about the stuff with the birth control and all this other nonsense that was going on over the weekend, And it was obviously a pretty dumb way to try to put a message out there. So he stepped in at that time, which the benefit to me is that he can't run for – he probably will dismiss his options to run for the presidency now, but who knows. But it was a stupid thing for him to say the way he said it. I understood his message as he was explaining it, and that was fine. Women aren't stupid. The Democrats treat women like they're stupid, and they're not. So I understood what he was trying to say. But when it comes to this other stuff, Mike Huckabee is a typical GOP establishment person. I mean, so much of what I hear him talk about on his show, I agree and I like. But when it comes down to it, he does whatever the GOP establishment tells him to do. He is endorsing Mitch McConnell over Matt Bevin, so he prefers the liberal over the conservative. But that's what the Republican Party told him to do. That's what Fox News, you know, Fox News takes a lot of their marching orders from the GOP establishment. And while, you know, they say some things, and when it comes to the Fox News, you really got to, you got to appreciate the fact that they do complain about some stuff. They put some issues out there. But you also have to be leery or weary of the fact that Murdoch promotes Common Core, which is communism, and promotes amnesty, which is to take the fall of this country with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Chinese nationals and whoever else is coming over that border. So when you understand that the core, the owner of Fox News, is truly socialist and communist, maybe in his own way, you just got to be careful of what you listen to and how you take stuff. I mean, Bill O'Reilly used to be pretty much a much more strong activist out there, and now he's out there promoting, he's doing all but promoting amnesty, all but promoting the socialism. It's really disgusting or sad to see what's happened to O'Reilly over the years. And you can understand why Glenn Beck couldn't stay there, because if you really believe or entrenched in your beliefs about what this country should be, Fox News probably isn't a good fit for you in the overall scheme of things. Now, what's her name? Megyn Kelly. It's interesting to listen to what she says. I like what she says. A lot of it I agree with. We'll see how long it lasts. Sean Hannity. He wants to leave New York. I think it'd be an excellent message in reference to that. And he says he's not a Republican. He's a conservative. Whatever. But he's out there still promoting, I think, Rubio for the presidency. How sick is that? He's against amnesty, but he's for Rubio. I try to say that with a straight face. You know, it's nuts. Totally nuts. But this amnesty thing, the Republican Party needs to be put on notice. And, I mean, this is why we have to defund the GOP. The GOP stands for nothing. They are in bed so far with the liberal progressive slash communist, whatever you want to call them, that there truly is no, there's only one party. It's all merged into one party. There's not anything different here. And we cannot in any way, shape, or form promote or encourage what they're doing. We have got to send a very loud message to every one of those, everyone in that House of Representatives and the Senate, and I don't really care whether you're a Democrat or Republican, because if you care about this country, you should care about not having it taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslims don't care about gang raping women. That's okay with them. So if you're an American, if you happen to be a Christian, do you care about your religion? If you happen to be Jewish, if you happen to be anything but a Muslim, Islam, do you want to keep your faith? Do you want to continue to have freedom of religion? Then you better think about what's happening here. Because Obama is converting our military, that he's gotten rid of many, many senior officers of the American military. He's been getting rid of them, and he's been replacing them with Muslims. The Muslim Brotherhood has taken over the military. Go out there and check for yourself. This was last week. Go do a search on military to allow facial hair and head garments for religious purposes. Go do a search on that. When is the military here? They won't let you have a Bible. the United States military has taken away the Bible with the Muslim Brotherhood. If that doesn't bother you as an American, then you're not an American. If that doesn't bother you as a Christian, then you're not a Christian. And I mean, that may sound like strong words, but wake up. When are people going to wake up and see what is happening? We're not going to survive. The Christian faith isn't going to survive if we don't, and Jewish faith as well, are not going to survive if we don't come together to support freedom of religion, which means no Muslims. The Muslims do not believe Christians and Jews should live. You either cave in to be converted to Islam or you die. That is what the Quran, Allah, their doctrine, preaches. Read what Thomas Jefferson said about it. Thomas Jefferson met with some Muslims and asked them, why are you coming after the United States of America? What has the United States of America done to harm you? They said, it's not about that. We don't believe in Christianity. Everybody, it's Allah's orders, whatever, to kill the infidels. The Christians and the Jews must go. You are either Islam or you are nothing. And that is what we are here to do. Think about that very mentality, and then think about what happened in Boston. It's a massacre. Think of everything that happened with that. Now, think about 9/11. Why did 9/11 happen? There's so many questions about that whole thing. But we do know there were Muslims involved. That part is, and yet we have a president who protects the rights of the Muslim over the American people. That is so sick. It's so treasonous. And truly, and I said in the past I wasn't going to call him the president, because he's really not. Dictator Obama is doing what he feels like doing. He's writing his own laws. He's refused to defend our borders. He's doing his own amnesty thing, whether anybody else does anything or not. All these things that are in violation of his legal authority as the president. He is truly a dictator. Say it out loud. Dictator, the United States dictator. That's what it is. Call it what it is. And I hope and pray this march on Washington, D.C. in May, American Operation Spring, I believe is what it's called, I hope and pray that it's effective to shut down Washington, D.C., to escort those people out of office and say, you're not coming back here. We're going to get true representatives. You're not allowed. And everything I have seen, just so everybody knows, there will be no violence here. This is massive invasion of Washington, D.C. by the American people, because they won't be able to kill all of us. Washington, D.C., will not be able to shoot all the Americans. And with a dictator in charge, he may want to do that. I don't know. Especially since he's converting the military. The American military is being converted into the Muslim Brotherhood. Has anybody ever heard of Fort Hood? And that was, that wasn't terrorism, that was workplace violence or something stupid like that. We have a dictator in the White House who is destroying this country, but at least we can all go watch the Super Bowl. Thank goodness we got a Super Bowl game to watch. Well, we have a mayor here in Orlando who's going to destroy a church so he can build a stadium. It's all relative. Some people might think this is crazy, but I'm telling you. It goes back to President George Washington and many of the founders who talk about a moral base. If you do not have a moral base, if the society has no moral values, does not respect the value of life, does not respect the rights of the individual, communism, there is no individual. You're part of the collective. You're nothing but a serial number in communism. You're not an individual. If we do not respect that, we will not survive. And we have so many people who are destroying this country from within. Dictator Obama is one of them. But Dictator Obama could never have done this alone. How much George Bush added to it? Remember his axis of evil and his North American Union? George Bush is a communist too. And I know people say, oh yeah, John Ellis Bush, his brother Jebby Scott Bush, their grandparent, their grandfather, George H.W. Bush, who was for the One World Order, the New World Order. Go do the history. Go research the history of it. So, and really, and because of this history of the Bush family, I believe is so much of why people say that there was something else going on with 9/11. And you say, how it's obviously treason if anybody within this, in this government, had anything to do with 9/11. Treason. At the same time, when you know the history of the Bush family, how cozy they were with the Saudis, how cozy they were with Hitler, yeah, go out there and see. It was Prescott Bush who aided Hitler. And then you kind of wonder why those who are suspicious of 9/11 think there might have been something else going on. And the only thing that I've ever said when it comes to 9/11, now, as I am a big fan of Ron Paul. I like Rand Paul, but he flip-flops on things too easily, and he tends to be a GOP establishment person in his own rights. But when Ron Paul would talk about 9/11, he was actually taking the approach that these people are attacking us because we've been attacking them. When you keep going out nation-building, getting involved in the affairs of other countries, trying to be the supreme ruler of the world, at some point they're going to come back after you. I mean, that was always the gist of what I felt Ron Paul was saying. And so I understand that. But the other thing that people say when they talk about that our government was involved, the part that never made sense to me is the collapse of those towers. I mean, for two planes to hit the top of those buildings, and I mean, it wasn't like they hit the bottom. They couldn't have because of too many buildings around in New York. I guess they probably could have if they came in off of the river. But they hit the top section of those buildings. And I could never make sense of how those two planes hitting that would have made that whole thing, those towers collapse. I don't see any true justification of how the heat, the temperature, whatever, from the top of those buildings would have made the bottoms collapse. That part never made sense to me. And I've always tried to get some kind of justification. If there wasn't something else, and it's not to say our government was involved, but was there some other piece to this? Not only were the planes in the top, as much as they had explosives in the bottom, lower bottom of that building, because we already know they put bombs in it before. Not like they didn't try to bomb the World Trade Center in the past. Why they couldn't do that. And so there's just more to that piece of it. But that's kind of getting off track here. But the whole point is we don't have anybody protecting the United States of America in this country. We have a dictator there, but Dictator Obama, Dictator Barack Hussein Obama, could not do this alone. And when you go and have anybody sworn into office on the Quran, they are not loyal to the Constitution. even those who go to a Christian church and swear on it half the time, you can't depend on what they're going to do. But you just know because of what the Muslim doctrine is. The Quran, they do not believe in a free society. They do not believe in Christianity. They do not believe in Judaism. Kill the infidels. Either you will become convert to Islam, Islamist, or you will be killed. Look at what is happening in the Middle East. And I'll tell you, a few years ago, I would have never thought to look at anything to do with religion in the Middle East. But the Christians are being exterminated. And that is what is happening here in the United States of America, and the Christians just sit there and look. A Catholic faith, I could never be a Catholic. I am so disgusted with a Catholic faith. These people are as bad as the morons in Washington, D.C. It's unbelievable to see what the Catholic Church is doing. They're going to support amnesty so that they can have more churchgoers? Well, wait a minute. The Christians are going to be killed. Haven't you figured that out yet? So where are you? Where is the Catholic community, the Christian community, especially at the Catholic Church? And I know people who go to Catholic churches, it's true with any church, but especially the Catholic Church. They all know that I don't go to a church. I don't go to any congregation, and I take care of my religion on my own. I watch various things on TV. I do my own reading. I do my own one-on-one with God every day. So, you know, they don't care that I don't go to church. They, you know, they've invited me to join them and things like that. And, of course, most of them would be happy if I would go with them on go to church on a Sunday. But what I have told them, and this is, and I will do it. I said, if you want me to go to church with you, I will go on one condition. I will go to church with you on whichever day you want, Sunday or one of the holidays, whatever, as long as you don't mind if I stop and talk to the pastor or the father, or the minister, or the bishop, whoever it may be there at that church, and talk to them about saving the Christian faith. Because it doesn't look like those who go to the church talk to them about it. And, of course, I ask these people, well, what are they saying in church? Are they warning you that your Christian faith is being exterminated? Or do you care? And I've had some people get annoyed with me and fuss with me and say things like, you know, I go there to get to seek guidance from God, and I don't go there for political stuff. I'm like saying, this isn't political. This is self-defense. If you don't care that the Christian faith is under attack, okay, I guess that shows how much you care about your faith. Of course, that usually doesn't go over real big, but it's the truth. But you're watching that football game. your Christian faith means so much to you, but when push comes to shove, you've got to go for that football game. Isn't it kind of sick when you think about it? And if anybody wants to challenge what I'm saying, let me know. Either call in tonight or call in another night. Call in because of the way we got some other things going on the other shows right now. Call in on a Monday night and tell me you want to say why I'm crazy or whatever. And put it out there in the chat room. Go out there in the chat room and introduce yourself and what you want to talk about. And then call in and let me know who you are. And you can tell me why you think what I'm saying is wrong. Tell me why the Christian faith in the United States of America is not under attack. The war on the Christian faith is what people should be worried about. Because you know what? For every pro-life person out there, do you truly think the Muslim Brotherhood care about abortions? Do you really think, who do you think is coming over that border? Do you truly think it's all Christians coming over that border? Do you truly think it's just Mexicans looking for a job coming over that border? because many Hispanics, Latinos, whatever, are Christians. But do you really think they're the ones that are coming over the border the most? We have an invasion of this country coming on right now. And what are the American people focused on? Sports. A Super Bowl game. Super Bowl syndrome. Who cares what happens to the country as long as I can go watch my football game? Well, guess what? When this country falls, don't plan on watching much of football. You'll be lucky to have electricity. And people say, oh, come on, don't get carried away with it. Communism. Our country is being taken over by communism. Common core. Communism. How do you convert a country, a free society, to communism? You brainwash them through public education, Common Core. You occupy the sheeple through sports games. So they don't know that we just allowed the invasion. They don't know we just converted the military over to the Muslim Brotherhood. The people are clueless. They're spending all their time trying to make a dime so they can live, so they can survive against the tyrannical government that they've already got, while the tyrannical government gets more tyrannical every day, while it becomes more communist every day. You know, socialism and communism, the one leads to the other. And, I mean, if you believe in communism, you believe in socialism, you're in good shape. Something tells me you might be surprised if you are an American born and raised here in America who has your head in the clouds or in the Super Bowl game or wherever you may have it, buried in the sand. You're just out there in denial that nothing like this could happen. And, yes, redistribution of wealth and equal income, adjusting, you know, the share of the wealth, taking care of the inequality of income. Those are all good. Yeah, right. That isn't what happens in a communist society. Everybody suffers, except for the very top. So the same people that you don't like today are going to be the ones that are telling you what to do, who are controlling you, who are owning your car, who are owning your home. You will be one of the common people. Communism. Common, communism, get the connection. Common core, get the connection. Brainwash people. And all you have to do is listen to what John Ellis Bush said. He's a big promoter of Common Core. He's a promoter of amnesty. Why is he a promoter of amnesty? Because right now he sees himself as in that top elite group. When it all comes down to the wire, I doubt he'll still be there, but that's where he's at right now. And we need Mexicans. We need the Hispanic community because they're more fertile and they're workers. We need workers. We have so many unemployed people in this country right now, but we need to import workers. We need to allow amnesty for the illegal workers to take the rest of the jobs. This is what John Ellis Bush says. The Bush family is communist. And, I mean, people just get so... And, I mean, truthfully, a few years back, before I got engaged in the public discussion and what was going on, before I understood any of it myself, thanks to public education, if somebody would have said, you know, George Bush was communist, I would have said, oh, come on. The guy's an idiot, and I don't like him. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for Al Gore either. I called it Bushwhacker and Goreless. I didn't vote for either one of those idiots. I haven't voted for a main party for most elections in quite a while. I have a couple, not many. Because I don't believe in voting for a party. But, you know, somebody would have said to me a few years ago, I said, you know, yeah, I agree. I don't like Bush, George Bush. I think he's an idiot. But, I just wouldn't have thought, but he's not communist. Come on, let's not get carried away with it. Well, what happens? the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America. This was George W. Bush, 2005. Executive order. Talk about out-of-control executive orders. That was him. Why didn't George W. Bush want to have to secure the border? Because he had given it away. The Security Prosperity Partnership of North America was to open up, create the North American Union, where there were no borders between Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. That was George W. Bush. He wanted amnesty because of that. His brother, John Ellis Bush, major promoter of Common Core, communist education, and he wanted the Hispanics because they're more fertile, and we need workers. We don't need workers. Look at the unemployment. And we're almost totally a service industry these days because we have shipped the manufacturing jobs over to communist China, importing people to do the high-tech work because Americans are too stupid. And we're importing the people to play sports now, too. What is it that Americans don't see? Is that game really more important? Is that Super Bowl game more important than what is happening to your country? I don't get it. I just do not get it. How can people be so... I don't want... It's not apathy. I mean, there's apathy out there. Clueless may be the word I'm looking for. Hopeless. But, you know, the hopelessness is going to do us in, if that's what it is. Are Americans that preoccupied? Or do you not appreciate the severity of the situation, which goes back to somewhat being clueless? And I mean, personally, I hate politics. I can't stand it. I long for the day we would have another George Washington. Thomas Jefferson. But George Washington was the real deal. And I still say to this day, from everything I see out there right now, I believe Ben Carson is the black version of George Washington. If we could somehow figure a way to get him out there. Because, you know, the Republican Party doesn't even mention his name. They did a couple times in the past, but they don't now. He's a no-party affiliate, just like George Washington. And when we talk about all this, party politics, I want to dissolve all parties. And you know what? You don't really have to dissolve the parties by themselves if you just force open primaries, open elections. By having open primaries, you could have 10 Republicans on the ballot and it wouldn't matter. You could have whatever. You know, and then everybody would have the chance to vote on who they wanted and then let the top 5 candidates go to the general. Just imagine if you truly had 5 candidates who went to the general to be the president of the United States. And if you had open primaries, you could do that. I think I should have the right to vote in the primary. And you know what? When it comes to the party politics, you know, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, all these different parties, Libertarian Party, all of them, they are private entities, private organizations with their own rules. And you have to take a sworn oath if you're going to be a Republican, which I did sign the oath, but I would have never honored it because it was so stupid, so anti-American in so many ways. And I did challenge it at the time. But you know what? If you want to be a member of this association, member of the Republican National Committee, then you guys go have your own convention. Let your Republican members vote for whoever they want. And then you put those people on the primary ballot. That primary ballot should be a public ballot. And right now it's not. It's a private ballot. And the public sector should not be supporting private entities like the DNC, the RNC, the Libertarian Party, any of these parties. They should go do their own thing and put their candidates on the primary ballot. That's what we would do if we had a free society and if every vote counted. But that isn't what we have today. But we do have a Super Bowl game. And that's what's important, right? The fact that you have no control over your ballot box doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter that the NFL doesn't pay any taxes, right? Oh, that bugs me to no end, which I guess you can tell. And the thing is, if we're going to keep the parties out there, which I personally don't believe in the parties, which goes back to President George Washington's farewell address, but you know, the thing is, we have to get an American party out there. The Constitutional Party has been out there, but they haven't been, what I would say, aggressive in getting them out there. And the Libertarian Party, they've been out there. Maybe it's the Libertarian Party, I don't know. But personally, I would like to have an American party. I would love to see the Republicans actually care about Americans. Well, right now, all they care about is the Latinos. They don't care about Americans. Hey, we have to have amnesty because we need Latinos. We don't care about Americans. And the same is true for the Democrats. We don't care about Americans. We're going to give American citizenship to anybody because we don't care. It doesn't mean anything. This is what's happening to our country. It's happening to our country while most people, or many, I won't say most, many, circle around the TV set and watch a Super Bowl game. And I'm telling you, see, when did the wardrobe malfunction thing happen? I wasn't watching that Super Bowl game. And I think it was one or two before that was the last time I ever watched a Super Bowl game. So how long has that been? And I do watch some sports. But the major sports, major league stuff that has totally come out of, been out of control, welfare for billionaires. I don't believe, we already pay too much in welfare for deadbeats who don't want to do anything. Welfare for billionaires is even more disgusting. It's even more outrageous. Welfare for illegals, welfare for deadbeats who don't want to do anything, welfare for billionaires. I am all in favor of helping those who are in need, but it should be done at the local level. It should not be a federal program, and we should do it as a town, as a people. It should not be. It's the local congregations should be doing more to help in that respect versus promoting amnesty like the Catholic Church. I tell you, there's just no way I could be a Catholic these days. Absolutely no way. Well, I haven't seen Ms. Texas out there the last couple of weeks. I hope she's okay. She's usually out there in that chat room and on the phone. But I have not heard from her. I may need to try to give her a call and see if she's okay. Because I have a feeling she'd have something to say about this, too. The other thing, too, when we talk about the sports, which, again, I think ties into what's happened to us as a culture, which is impacting the state of our union, there's a Mimi syndrome involved here. The Mimi syndrome, what is that? It's all about me. The last couple of generations, I say it started with the baby boomers, some will argue. I believe it started with the baby boomers. It was a mix of the core values that continued through. I'm a baby boomer. But I think it was during that time when we were having so much prosperity that there was this attitude that you're number one. The kids were taught, you're number one, do whatever it takes. And people took that to a different type of literal sense. I mean, when you say do what it takes, it didn't mean go bash someone else's face in or stab someone in the back so you could climb up the corporate ladder or trip somebody, which is what happened with the ice skating, so that the skater who was there would not be able to skate in the Olympics. It's mentality, it's me, and do whatever it takes for me to be first and for me to be out there. I'm more important than anybody else. And that's not true. You're important. We're all unique. We're all God's children. But that doesn't mean you have the right to go destroy other people because you want something. It's not the mentality that whatever it takes isn't true. Robbing a bank is not the way. Whatever it takes to be rich means rob a bank? No. But there is this mentality that ethics don't mean anything. You can do whatever you want, do whatever it takes. You know, and when it comes to football, look at the things they do on that football field. And I mean, yeah, obviously it's a contact sport and you're supposed to block and this kind of stuff. You've seen some of these head crashes. And there's no helmet that's going to protect someone's head that much. I'm sorry, there's not. And, of course, the person who's doing it is not too swift either. But all these different things that they do to cause an injury to the other so that they can win. Sick. When that kind of stuff, and you know, the NFL comes up with their different rules and this and that. But in the overall scheme of things, it's not really controlled. And apparently the American people who are watching it, the sports fans, don't seem to care either because they keep watching it. They keep tolerating it. I think it's George Wills who talks a lot about the brain damage from football. And, I mean, we saw that with, I think it was Sugar Ray, the boxer. You know, his head got hit so many times. And, I mean, and back then I don't think anybody really truly appreciated what all was happening, the damage to the brain. As he was out there boxing, and he has problems now. He survives, but he has problems because of it. And it's my understanding there's various pro NFL players who are out there suing for brain damage, things that have happened. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You were a college graduate when you got into football. You were a kid when you got into football. Your parents probably didn't teach you too much up there. We'll talk about the parents in a minute. But you were a college graduate when you got into the NFL. You were supposed to be educated. However, most, as they say, many college football players can barely read at an eighth grade level. Because it's not about education, it's about money. But anyway, in theory, you're a college graduate. And you should be smart enough to understand what you're getting into when you went and signed that contract to put that helmet on your head and go out there and get banged around. Whose fault is it if you chose that? The physical contact was part of the deal. I mean, if you go into the military and you get wounded, you can't sue the military because you got wounded unless, in fact, it truly was some kind of negligence like what happened at Fort Hood. Allowing the terrorists to be part of your military. Those kind of things. But it's all about the money. But now people want to sue for the damages. Do they have that right? I don't think so. But what does that say about the culture? They wanted, and the parents, and I said I was going to mention about the parents. We're down to about 10 minutes here. The parents, who, you know, and I can appreciate that the kids want to play the sports, and you want kids to have team spirit, team playing, you know, this kind of thing where they learn how to be part of a team, work together with others, socialize with others, and have some fun and physical activity. Those are all good reasons to have kids involved in some type of sports stuff, and I would never suggest not to do that. But when it comes to football, with the physical contact, do you really want to risk a child's growing body and his brain, the head, to all these collisions? Is it really rocket science to think you can only bang the head so many times before something happens to it? And again, this is what George Will talks a lot about. And he believes at some point there will probably be a downturn in football because of it. And when that happens, well, then Major League Soccer will probably be the one that takes over because it's not that kind of physical contact. But you just think in this mentality of the parents, they want their kids, you know, in the beginning, if the kid likes playing football, fine, whatever, they're letting the kid have fun. But then I don't know what it is, and I mean, I have seen this with baseball. I mean, I have seen this at a Pony League game, I mean, with the young kids that are just out there trying to have some fun, and the parents are so obsessed. They want their kid to be a major league athlete, whether major league baseball player, so they can get rich. And this is what I'm saying about the sickness of sports in this society. And when you think about, that's what we think of. We don't care that the kid, one, maybe can't play the sport and doesn't want to. And two, the physical injuries that come to it. Baseball, there's some injury there, not to the extent of football, but there is some injury. But it's all about the money. You're going to do this to your young child because you want money. And this is what the American culture has become. And in all likelihood, that same parent, which I never went up and asked, I didn't talk to him, I'd be willing to bet they never spent time talking to their kid about the Constitution or saying the Pledge of Allegiance with them, talking about the American creed, what it means to be an American. But they want them to be that pro sports athlete so they can be rich. And who are they getting rich off of? The taxpayers. And then we have all this crazy nonsense about income inequality. Like, I wish people would actually think about what they say and do once in a while. It's like, where are you coming from? How nutsy is this? Totally nuts. Tomorrow night we're going to listen to dictator Barack Hussein Obama tell us the state of our union and how he plans to destroy it next. That's what it is. Dictator Barack Hussein Obama. He does not respect the Constitution. He does not respect Congress. He's been removing and destroying our military. He's been refusing to secure the borders. Why? Because he wants the Muslim Brotherhood to come in here and take over. And they are so, I mean, I really don't know any numbers off the top to say how many Muslims are in this country today. But you can't be a Muslim and an American at the same time. And who knows, I may get shot for saying that someday. Probably will. Who knows? Whatever. But I'm not going to stop saying it. Because Muslims don't believe Christians or Jews or anybody else should live. In America, to be an American means you believe in freedom of religion and the rights of the individual. That's what being an American really means. Muslims don't believe that way. And we've got a dictator by the name of Barack Hussein Obama who's converting our military into the Muslim Brotherhood military. He's doing that. He's trashing Christianity from the military today. Can't be a Christian in the United States military today, but you can be a Muslim. Why would he be doing that? If not to take down this country. So you take, convert the military into the Muslim Brotherhood. Then you have these various Muslims throughout, like the Boston Massacre, and just see what's going to happen. And then they're taking away the guns. They want to take away your guns. Why do they want to take away your guns? Do they truly believe that it's because you're doing too much duck hunting or deer hunting? No. They want to disarm the people to take over this country. That's what it's about. And Americans got to wake up and smell the coffee. As I said, for the year 2014, please seek the truth. Go out there and research the stuff I'm saying. President George Washington's farewell address warned us about different factions, political parties, moral values. It's all there. He told us we would have to protect ourselves against this. Different factions will divide the country. You can't be united and divided at the same time. You're not united if you're divided. We cannot survive if we are divided. And dictator Barack Hussein Obama has done everything he can to divide us under the guise of being a black uniter. Which, by the way, don't forget, he's half black, half white. One parent was black, one parent was white. So this Americans have to face the truth. Seek the truth, face the truth, and then we can save America. We've got to shut down this amnesty. Turn off the stinking games. Turn off the TV sets. Turn off the entertainment when you haven't done your job as a citizen. Be a citizen first. Be an American first. Then go watch TV. Then go to the Super Bowl. But if you haven't done your, haven't been responsible as an American citizen, what are you doing watching a silly game? And more importantly, is why should I pay for that silly game? Because I don't want it. I don't care about it. Why should welfare for billionaires? Why should I be paying welfare for billionaires? It's outrageous. So on that note, we're going to kind of wrap it up here. I'm going to see if I can play something. Get God Bless America here to wrap up the show. But the main thing is to be Americans, be united as Americans. If you don't know what an American is, there's a couple, go look at the American's Creed. Say the Pledge of Allegiance. Read the Oath of Office for which these people take a sworn oath to. They're failing. They're not Americans anymore. Traitors. But if you have any doubt of what an American is, go read that Constitution. If you do not believe in that Constitution, then you're not an American. It's that simple. It really is. So let's hear a little bit of God Bless America as we wind down. And truly, please, please, God Bless America. And everybody out there, say a prayer for America. Please be united as one. Help save America for the next generation. Good night.
To the prairie.